Hi, and welcome to the Game 3 NLCS post-game show. I am one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I'm joined by one other host of this podcast.
Yeah, that's me, Kurt. I don't know what else to say other than
Kurt,
my name.
You sound down. What's wrong, buddy?
I'm just really worried about your safety driving a car and doing a podcast. That's all it is.
Yeah. So this
otherwise,
is not,
I'm great.
Right. This is not our normal recording setup. In that, I am currently driving. We're recording through Blab, broadcasting it live, and everything's fine though, Kurt. Don't worry.
Okay.
I'm doing the speed limit.
Oh, we got video. We got video back. So
nice.
Good to see your faith. I'm glad you're
safe.
Right,
so we're recording this. If you're listening to the podcast version, we're recording this right after the Cubs lost to the Mets. And I, to be honest, I can't even remember what the score was. 5-2, is that what it was?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't really matter. It was bullshit.
Point,
yeah,
that's what it was.
So I was up in the Quad Cities watching it with a group, and remind me to tell you my funny story about watching it with that group before we're done here. And then, so now I'm driving home. So we're doing this right after the game. Andy is not joining us because he has limited data left on his phone for the month.
What?
And yeah. He's always like just barely skirting by.
I guess that's being a teacher for you.
Well, and I think that if the
that's
Cubs,
educating America's youth,
right?
You don't have enough money to get more data.
And I think if the Cubs would have won, he probably would have like muscled through it. You know, just like
let's take out all of our anger on Andy. Can we do that right now?
Oh yeah, Andy was so excited through this whole thing. He even dropped a "Let's go Mets." It was so frustrating.
Yeah, which is funny because you know tonight. Normally, I said this earlier before we started recording, but normally during a game, we go back and forth quite a bit, the three of us texting. Tonight,
right.
It was dead silent.
And yeah.
I didn't want to break the silence. I just left it alone. I just let it be. I thought, oh, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe this is like a something we'll get going. And then, you know, by seventh inning, I had to break the silence and drop some F-bombs because I couldn't handle it.
Yeah,
anymore.
There was no – well, and it's partially because we were watching it with a group. And so, yeah. You know, there's a lot of conversation. We watched it with...
So was Andy with you?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We were watching it together.
Oh, well, I did not. Thanks for inviting me, by the way.
Well, you know.
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't have come.
So we watched the game. And, man, I don't even know what to say about this game. I mean, I just don't know what to say. I
don't either. I mean, it boils down to, like, the fact that you cannot win a postseason series and score one or two runs a game. I mean, we could break down the inning by inning crap and the pitching and whatever you want, but you cannot, you have to score runs in the postseason. They just haven't done it. And right now, anger is pouring out, but at the same time, it's just freaking baseball. It's baseball in the postseason, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really hard because it's like, it's kind of one of those things where, like, if we get into the details, I'm just going to, like, get irritated with specific players when it's not really on those players. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, it really bugged me that Dino took a called strike three. When that pitch was on strike. But with how they've been calling, I mean, that's kind of like if you go back to game one in the NLDS against Lackey. You have to adjust your strike zone to what the umpire is calling. And it just, I don't know.
You do, but at the same time, though, like, that totally throws off the game plan.
It does, but you have, this is what happens if you don't adjust, though. There you go, strikeout, one out.
Right, but, like, Dino's coming in on a pinch hit.
Right.
He takes what looks like an obvious ball in 99% of situations. I don't know. I don't want to be hard on him for that because... You know,
I know
split second reaction of a hitter taking a pitch. That's tough, but I totally get what you're saying. Like, the offense just did not, it wasn't there. Like, Yeah, the home runs came on a couple of mistake pitches, and that was cool to see, and I got super excited. But the reality is you've got to get runners on, you got to get them in, and that never happened in the first three games.
Right. Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, that's where – and I didn't necessarily feel like the Cubs had bad at-bats in this game.
Well, you look at the first inning. They got DeGrom to throw like 26 or 7 pitches in the first inning, and I was like, yes, game plan. They're knocking it out tonight. Even with the first inning run, I was okay because like then when DeGrom threw so many pitches, I thought, okay, this is how it's supposed to go.
Right.
You make him throw pitches. And then it just, his pitch count by inning went down from there.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, he was really cruising. So he retired, I forget how many, like after the Soler home run, he retired a bunch in a row. And, he really started cruising then. But yeah, like they had him on the ropes the first two or three innings. And they were playing, they were taking good at bats. The only kind of bad at bat or quick out that I can remember in this game was Schwarber's last at bat when he flied out in the eighth inning. And that was like really the only one I could think of. And
you got to expect a couple of bad at-bats here and there, but for the most part, I felt like the approach was there, and like, you know, I want to say when Schwarber hit the home run, he was down early and then came back, and he worked a walk that same way, you know, where he was down 0-2 and then worked a walk, and so, I don't know, the approach seemed to be there, it's just that when it came time to getting an actual hit in a clutch situation, that's when it didn't happen. All this is about this game. Like, I don't want to have people to feel like I'm hating on this team because I sort of feel like we're playing with house money. Don't get me wrong. I really want this team to win and I'm super pissed right now. But the flip side of it is like, this is still a really good baseball team that has outperformed expectations and, I'm really struggling with that right now. Like, how to balance how pissed off I am right now with how proud I am of the fact that they've made it this far.
Yeah, and that's just it, too. It's like, I feel like I can't get down on this team. I can't really get down on the individuals because these kids are really young. And, I mean, Bryant didn't have his cleanest game of his career tonight, you know. Baez didn't get things off to a good start. I mean, but really, I don't feel, and this is something that, I mean, we were kind of talking about at the meetup tonight. John, who's a Hall of Fame Patreon supporter, he was there tonight, and he kind of mentioned it, and he said, you know, I don't know how much, right now, what I think where we're at is just kind of like coming like to terms with this season.
I suppose this would be a good time to point out the fact that it hasn't actually ended. And I think we just feel like it has.
Right. Well, and I believe it. So I think a lot of people, I heard it got a lot of feedback after our last episode of people really appreciating us kind of ending the episode on a positive note. And I actually do have some positives to take away from this, believe it or not. But what John was saying was that, you know, and I think he was kind of saying, like, you hear it a lot with football or maybe hockey, is that a really young team has to kind of experience this kind of like gut-wrenching loss to kind of have that experience and then have the real hunger to not experience that again. And maybe that's, I mean, again, All we can do right now is really just kind of like try to find By the way, I am if you can hear the rumble drips.
Right. Oh, geez. We're about to watch
the road. I promise.
I'm with you there. Like, there's so many ups and downs of emotion through this game and the series that, I mean, most of it's been anger tonight, I'll admit. But then I'm sort of not. Oh yes, anger. Yeah,
not anger. I mean,
I'm just coming down off the anger.
Is it?
Yeah.
So what are you angry at?
Yeah, I think that's probably a better word.
I mean, that's where I'm at. it's just disappointment.
No, no.
I'm not mad at this team. I'm not mad at any decision that Joe Maddon made.
Yeah,
I'm
I think that's probably a better word. There has been a lot of anger tonight. Disappointment is what I'm feeling now. But at the same time, like I'm pretty thrilled with being here and being able to feel these emotions because, you know, the alternate is we're all talking about the Cuban outfielder they signed. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's great to be talking about the postseason, but that also just means it hurts a lot more when they lose.
Right, and I think I think what we have to remember is that again, we're saying this stuff knowing that the Cubs are technically not out of it. They're down 3-0. But, I mean, we have to look at this and that, like, kind of like I said on the last episode, there's only one team that wins, you know? And everyone else's season ends with a loss in the playoffs, and everyone ends up disappointed. And I think it's important to realize that, you know, the odds were stacked against the Cubs just from a pure numbers standpoint from the get-go. And to see them, I think if you would have told me on October 7th that the Cubs were going to beat the Pirates and get into the playoffs and they were going to eliminate the Cardinals, like a nasty bowel movement, then I would have been, you know, I would have been thrilled. And that's where I'm trying to, silver linings. I'm just trying to think, well, it's good for, you know, and really, I think it's really good for this team to have experienced the postseason. I think if they would have lost in that game against the Pirates, I think they have learned a lot in the last week and a half to 2 weeks. And so this is not like just a total worthless, you know, something that gets our hopes up. And
I'm not sure where to respond with that other than I generally agree. I think it's, I'm a mess right now. I'm sorry.
Well, okay. Yeah, go ahead. So can I tell you a funny story to kind of lighten things up? So we're there at this establishment, and there's a group, you know, of, I don't know, there's maybe like 10 or 12 of us. And there's a group, the only other people in the entire bar are these, like, you know, white hat jock muscle dudes. And so, like, it must have been somewhere in the around the seventh inning, maybe. One of them walked over to the jukebox and played Disturbed or something of the like. I don't really know that type of music. And John nice. Over and unplugged.
I do love that guy. I think honestly, watching the game with John tonight would have been.
Oh man, it was hilarious.
A nice little met. Yeah.
Oh, it was intense. It was intense. But you know what? He left it. He left the evening on top. You know, he's like, guys, this is where the 30 for 30 starts. It starts right here. So yeah. he was positive. He was optimistic. That's a dude that lives and dies.
Yeah, and I was like, and it's weird because, you know, here I'm sitting at home watching on TV generally by myself. You know, thank God bless her. My wife's taking care of the kids and like putting them to bed and doing all that stuff. So I didn't have to. And I got to watch the first three innings.
Right.
Yes, with my 3-year old. And by that point, he was done. But, you know, there was definitely moments of, well, this is really cool, like watching an NLCS with the 3-year-old. But then, you know, later in the game, it wasn't so positive. So thankfully, he was in bed by that point, so he didn't hear Dad drop 50 F-bombs in a row. Because that was kind of the only word that came out of my mouth at that point. But yeah, like I said before, it's just weird, like, disappointment with pride. It's hard to reconcile, right. But I do have. I'm gonna let you finish your thought, and then I have a question. Well, I was gonna say, like, so what are your thoughts on Thursday? So for those of you who don't know, we have tickets to Thursday's game, and obviously we need the Cubs to win tomorrow in order to even attend the game. And so, like, how are you feeling about Thursday? Like, do you want them? I mean, no, none of us want to get swept, but you know,
right? You mean that? Do I? Do I?
Right? Are you thinking like, okay, well, at least it's a chance to go see the game, and you know,
yeah, I want to go to that game, and I don't, you know, if that ends up being, if they end up losing that game, then so be it. I want to go because I want to go to Wrigley Field one more time. I want to watch four or five more Chris Bryant, yeah, Anthony Rizzo, Kyle Schwarber at bats. I want to hang out with cool Cubs fans. Like, that's just what I want to do. And if that's the game,
yeah, that I'm totally with you on there. I just want to kind of throw it out there to kind of get your vibe on it. I was telling people earlier, before we started recording, that, you know, my father-in-law's birthday is, his 60th birthday is on Friday. And when we got these tickets, we told him, hey, guess what? You're going on Thursday. And so at the time, you know, before the series started, it's super exciting. And now I'm really torn about it. And it's like, I just hope we can get to that game and at least experience it, so we can kind of watch it together. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I think really, I'm kind of like, I think my mindset for that game, knowing the season either ends there, you know, this is if the Cubs win on Wednesday, but you know, I think I almost have the same emotion towards it as I would a regular season game. You know, I know it's a must win and I'm going to cheer and everything, but I'm just going to go there to experience it. And
at the same time, we should point out the fact that it is dejected as we are right now in the moment, that the Red Sox did it. And so, not impossible, and
yes, yep.
I'm not going to tell you it's impossible, but if you're going to look at statistics, it's very unlikely, but it is possible.
Sure, right. So let's end this thing on a positive note. I mean, that's your bit of your little tidbit of positivity, is that it's not impossible. It has been done before.
Mm-hmm.
Anything
that's
else? That's kind
of all I got. I mean, I just want, okay, you know what would be great for me right now? If tomorrow the offense just shows up, go score 9 runs, go score 10. I don't, somewhere north of 5. And it will be super exciting. Just score some damn runs. Like, I'm tired of 1 and 2 run games because this offense is crazy good. And, you know, some credit to the Mets pitching, but they've had their chances.
Oh, sure,
they haven't been able to do it. And I really just want to see this offense do it in the playoffs so that we don't walk out with our heads down with no offense.
Right. Well, so I was ready to wrap up this episode, but now I want to get back into
it. I got another beer, so go ahead.
So here's, like, okay. Do you feel like the Cubs were really – really just relying too heavily on the long ball in this series? I mean, it all, to me, it felt like in tonight's game, that's what they're looking for.
I'm sorry. I'm going to let you finish.
And no, I mean, it feels like that's what, every time they got up there, that's what they were looking for, especially before they went down 5-2, or, you know, whatever, whenever it kind of got away from them. But it seemed like early in the game, and when it was close, like a 1-run game, they were just looking to put one out of the park.
It's hard to say whether that was, like, you know, you hit a home run. Is that what you were trying to do, or is that just what happened? It's hard to say, like, if that was the game plan. I do think they were pressing. I think early in the game, they were still sticking to the game plan, which I like to see. But later in the game, I think for sure they were pretty dejected. I think they were looking for a quick home run ball to kind of fix things versus just get on. But at the same time, the pitching just, there was a little bit of like bad calls, like that low pitch. As bad as the TBS strike zone bullshit was, like, forget that. But, like, that low pitch, you know, like, mid-shin kept getting called for a strike. And that really is hard to adjust to because you can't do anything with that pitch. So even if you do know it's a strike and you're going to swing at it, you're not going to do much with it.
Yeah. Well, and it was really hard. I mean, they just weren't getting, I felt like they were looking for, you know, taking home run cuts and looking for that. And
so do you think that's a sign of like we're finally, you know, they're getting like the youth of this team, like,
I think so. Yeah. I think that's part of it. I mean, I'm not saying that's all of it, but I'm sorry, but Chris Bryant, I mean, he ended up with one that I think was I remember two pitches that he saw that were like, oh, that's a Bryant pitch right there. But so much was like low,
same thing,
low outside corner, you know, down and away. And it's so hard for a guy that tall, you know, when they're calling like just right above your ankles, they're calling that a strike. And you have a pitcher like DeGrom that can put it there.
I do think
they don't have a chance. And I'm not saying Bryant was swinging for the fences, but like Miggy, just get off base.
Miggy's been pretty silent. Like, yeah, I agree with you. It's been, it feels like the book has caught up to some of the young players. And I every time I say something negative, I want to throw a disclaimer in there. But like, look, I'm not mad. Like, I'm just trying to point out what I'm seeing. Like, I get that these kids are super young. They're in their 20s. Like, I'm not mad. I'm just pointing out the fact that, yeah, I think the book has caught up. Like, they showed that if you go down and away, these kids will swing. And even if they make contact, it's going to be weak contact. Baez did not have good contact. Bryant, Rizzo's been struggling lately. I will say Schwarber put together a lot of good at-bats. Like, he swung at some bad pitches, but, you know, seemed to kind of have it a little bit better tonight. But,
and really, I don't think you can necessarily blame it on youth completely, because I think, like, those pitches, that the majority of the pitches that Bryant saw, it doesn't matter if it's a 22 or 23-year-old or it's a 35-year-old. You can't do anything with those pitches other than foul them off. And it's not easy to foul off those pitches. You know, it's just, it's, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting matchup that, like, now we're seeing young superstar pitching against young superstar offense. Cubs have chosen to go all in on young superstar offense. Mets went all in on young superstar pitching, and it, at least in the playoffs, in this series, in these three games, it has swung to the side of the pitching. I think the other important thing to remember is that we're looking at three games, you know, and that's what's so weird about baseball is you play 162 games, and then all of a sudden you get thrown into the postseason. I mean, the Cubs got swept by the Phillies, worst team in baseball. But that didn't make them a bad team. And now they're getting crushed by the Mets. And the Mets are a good team. But that's just the playoffs. You know, it's just a total. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Mets are hot right now. I mean,
oh, jeez. Don't get me started on Daniel Murphy. I don't even. Oh, I got nothing nice to say about that douche. Oh.
But, you know. It is what it is. You know, the Cubs went cold at the wrong time. And I think when you have a young team like that and they go cold and they press and they start looking for the long ball to kind of get them back in the groove. And really, I think they would have just benefited more by just stringing together a bunch of singles and a couple in the series like we did in the Cardinals series. You know, we're just and like we did in the whole, for the last month of the season, we're just not seeing that kind of production. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I think you'll hear a different tone out of us in the next 2 weeks. We'll come back to it. But for now, I think it's just, I think disappointment, like you said earlier, is the perfect word for it. But, I'll wake up tomorrow, hopefully optimistic that they can rally and get a game.
Yeah,
one game win streaks, as Madden puts it.
Right, and that's exactly what I wanted to end with, was that my positive outlook is all they can do is go out and win tomorrow, you know, and whatever effect that has on the Mets, whatever effect that has on the Cubs, who knows? But you can't win the series. You can only win the next game. And I think that's just the way they're going to have to go at it. And I think that's probably the way they went at it tonight. But DeGrom's a good pitcher. And when he settled in, he settled in. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow, I don't know, do they go with Hamill or do they bring in Lester on short rest? I don't know. But
yeah, I don't know what they're doing.
On one hand, I don't think it matters because they need to put up runs.
Here's another positive. Like, Hendricks is really good tonight. Like, I think it's important to give him some credit for he got pulled early in a pinch hitting situation that was probably a little bit tough with two outs and you bring in Coughlin. It's easy to second guess that one in hindsight, but
right.
I get why Madden did it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, Hendricks, like, he was good through four. He matched DeGrom through four.
Right.
He had some good stuff going tonight. So, like you said, I mean, he's been as good or better than Lester and Arrieta were in the first two games. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think they just need to just go out and win tomorrow and then go from there. I don't think you can.
One game.
Yeah, and that's where I was just kind of like, you know what, could I see this Cubs team win four games in a row? Hell yes, I can. But I don't.
Well, yeah, considering they won eight or nine right. to end the season, so
right.
it's possible.
I can see them win four in a row.
It seems unlikely, but it's possible.
Right. But they don't need to win four in a row right now. They need to win one in a row and go from there. So that's, I don't know, just go out, win tomorrow and then you know, hopefully then, so say they throw Hamill out there tomorrow, which I think they probably will. You know, then you got Lester and Arrieta going again. And while they didn't look great, and they obviously, both their starts in the series didn't result in wins, you have to like the fact that your number one and number two were back out there.
Well, you look at tomorrow's game, it's everything is on the table.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's say Hamill starts. You know, Lester might get up in the bullpen. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in a must-win situation. So
I still say, I don't know if you do. I mean, you do because, all hands on deck. But on the other hand, really, the bullpen has not been the issue. And even though the bullpen gave up runs in this game tonight, the bullpen pitching was not the issue. The defense was just not good.
Yeah. Defense and lack of offense.
Right.
That will lose a lot of games.
And that's something really funny. I was with the guys there. I said, we've talked all season about how Madden shifting players around, playing positions they're not familiar with, couldn't really think of instances where it's really cost this team. And we made a I remember, like, we got a listener question a month or 6 weeks ago about Dexter Fowler. Maybe it's about a month ago. Dexter Fowler and about how his defense isn't that good. And we said, by the numbers, his defense is not good. But we couldn't really think of instances where his defense hurt the team. And, man, you can point out, look at that fly ball that landed at the warning track over his head because he was playing so shallow. Look at the mistakes that, Schwarber made in the outfield. And there's just been the defense has not looked good. And it's like, so now we are kind of seeing this young defense and guys playing positions they're not really suited for right now or have that much experience in. Now we're kind of seeing it affect the team. But I'm not going to blame it on Madden for doing that.
Well, the play there is that the bats offset the defensive liability. And in this series, the bats have not offset the defensive liability. So, Schwarber made a couple of really rough plays and left, but he hit a home run. But in other positions, like that Solaire face plant.
Right.
He hit a home run too. So, like,
As he was coming up on that ball, I was like, "What? Oh. What is he doing? No, don't come up on it." Hey, do you want to? I see that Andy's in there. Do you want to let him in if he wants in?
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry, I had it locked. Andy, jump in.
yeah, when he was coming up on that, we've almost ended this thing already like three times.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm
going to
be a mess. I'm going to be a mess at work tomorrow. So go ahead. He is.
It's trying to make me log in as Beth. What is this? Yeah. What is this blab about?
You're your wife right now.
What is this blab about?
It's about baseball, man. Andy. We've been talking for like a while, so we're going to give you the floor and that you just
you're going to wrap up
vomit
the show.
All over.
Keep it up. I just like watching.
Do some talking.
I kind of already overheard what you were talking about. Beth had the blab going, but what I'm hearing Corey saying is, let's take it one game at a time. I mean, basically, bring out all the sports cliches, right?
You know what we should have done? We should have come on. We should have had a pre-planned thing. We come onto this thing, and we're 100% positive. We're like, no problem.
Hey, they got this.
No big deal. We got this.
We've won
this.
Four games in a row.
All you got to do is win four in a row.
Done that before.
Yeah. It's easy.
But at this point, I mean, like you said, you just have to, as a Cubs fan, be taking it one game at a time, basically. Oh, you know what's hilarious is I logged in on my phone. This is ridiculous. Okay. So anyway.
Well, Corey's driving right now.
Yeah, he is. So just enjoy the next game, right?
Right, right.
Yep. And hope for some good baseball on the part of the Cubs. And then if that game goes well, then look forward to game five, and then hope that game goes well and just go from there.
And then game six, and that'll go well.
And then go for game six, and that'll go well. And then hope that game seven goes well, and then that'll go well. And then we're on to the World Series.
There you go. Done deal. I'm glad you could join us, Andy, and spout some optimism.
Yeah, I have nothing to add. Other than I felt pretty down on the way home.
Yeah. Where did you take in the game tonight?
I was with Corey, actually. We were in the down at the bar creatively named The Venue.
It has everything on the menu, but does not serve any of it.
No. Yeah, there's a ton of stuff whited out on the menu. That's always a good sign. Anyway, kind of depressing. It's like our old stomping grounds, actually. But
oh, he's cutting out there.
Can you hear me?
Now, yes.
Oh, I said we've watched a lot of Cubs losses down there over the years.
We have, and we really haven't been able to hang out down there this season as they've been winners a lot of the time. And so maybe it is good that we disassociate ourselves with that place.
Yeah.
Yeah, Duffy's is our new home. Home bar.
Yeah. So.
Well, gentlemen, is there anything else you want to throw into the. Yeah.
It's a bummer. And I think, you know what? I'm not going to get down on any Cubs. You know, well, one thing I was really encouraged by, and I mentioned this while we were watching it, Andy, is that the Cubs fans in that ballpark seemed to be really engaged even late in the game. They were loud up to the last out. And the cameras obviously found the people with the looks of horror on their face.
TBS, let's just put it out there. TBS is the worst coverage I've ever seen.
Although, how about the camera shot looking up at the foul pole with the rain coming down? That was kind of cool. but
what they didn't say is that like it was actually a camera guy that fell. And they just rolled with it.
He's laying on his back.
He fell out of the bleachers and like bounced off the basket, the lip of the basket, and onto the warning track. And as he was laying there, he was like, check out this artsy shot.
And then he's like, hey, what do you guys think about the ground rules?
Anybody
want to just talk about the ground rules for 30 minutes?
Yeah. When did this Ivy get here? What's all this green crap on the wall?
Oh. Oh, at one point there was a Cuban Missile Crisis.
Oh yeah, we reference heard, that was
really like freaking ridiculous.
Like everyone in our group did a double take when we heard that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Lauren. Good, our good friend Lauren threw out a tweet about that. I was like, "Yep, yeah, I heard it too," and I cried a little bit.
I brought up the Bay of Pigs instantly.
It was just freaking awful. Ridiculous. Maybe we could just rail on. We could probably just rail on TBS for the next 2 hours.
Although you know that Andy and I had a pretty good quip, I guess, that would have been great for Twitter, but we didn't tweet it, and that's where I said something about how the bottom of the ninth inning seemed very familiar. and then
I said the jury's still out.
I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, man. I'm glad you guys were still laughing in the ninth inning. I was just...
Oh.
I was saying naughty.
It's depressing, and no matter how fun the season was, and you know, after whatever happens, I'll still, no matter what, think the season was a blast. But yeah. Right now, it's hard to deal with. As definitely got my hopes up, and so I just have to really just have tunnel vision on Game 4 and hope for a good Cubs performance.
Right.
Yep. I think that's all we can do at this point.
Yeah. So, thanks for listening to this podcast episode, and let's hope for I don't know. I really want a game five. If there is a game five, we will be there, and no matter how bleak it is, we're going to be cheering on these Cubs. So, but we will be up there early. So, if you are going to that game, or if you live in the area and you want to meet up with us, we're meeting at D'Agostino's Pizza on Addison and Southport. And we'll get there probably around 4 o'clock and hang out for a little bit and then head over to the ballpark. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I think this, so this episode, obviously it sounds different. I think I'm just going to like post the audio. I'm not even going to do any music or anything like that. It's just, it's raw audio. So
it's real and raw.
Yeah, so if this is the first time you've listened to our podcast, know that the production quality is significantly lower on this episode. And, you know, we're normally maybe don't sound quite so depressed and down. But if you're listening, you obviously understand why we do. But so check out future episodes of our podcast. We'd appreciate that. So I guess, what do you think, guys? Post-game show tomorrow night.
We kind of have to.
I think so. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tune in live on Blab. You can go to ivmb.com/live at the end of the game, and we will have it embed there so you can watch it. There's a chat and everything. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling good. I think the Cubs are going to win tomorrow. So, again, like we've said over and over, that's all they can do is win tomorrow. And I think even though our pitching matchups, well, we're facing Mats, supposedly. So I don't know. I feel fine. I think we're going to be okay. I think we're going to be.
You eat some Twitter hate for this.
I don't care. I feel good. If you ask me if the Cubs can win one game, I think they can. And so I think they're going to win tomorrow. And I think we're going to have. We're going to be podcasting tomorrow night. We're going to be talking about how we can work our way back into this thing. That's my prediction.
Sounds good to me. No further predictions needed. The Oracle has spoken.
It's not the Oracle. It's the benevolent overlord.
Oh, that's what I meant. I knew it was some O word.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to this episode. And until Wednesday night, go Cubs.